Well, I want to start a new series this morning called TikTok, but I want to tell you a story before I get started. And this week, Patty was in the office, and a gentleman came in, and he said to Patty, comes in the door and says, "Pat," or to the lady, she says, I want to see the head hog at the trough. And Patty, she can get a little defensive. She was like, well, he's busy right now if you're talking about our pastor. And I think that was just a little rude. And the guy, you know, taken back a little, he goes, well, I wasn't trying to be rude. I just wanted to let him know that I was going to donate $10,000 to the church for whatever you wanted to use it for. And Patty sat back and says, well, let me go get Porky right now. TikTok. Let me encourage you this morning with this word, you're going to die. That right now you are dying, your life is dying, and your time is running out. Praise the Lord, let's pray, and we're going to send you home. It's a revelation. It's something that we know is there. We know it's a part of life. We understand it's a part of life. And we know, you know, our life is ruled by the clock. We look at the clock, and if we don't have a clock there, we wear one on our wrist most of the time. Or if we don't have one there, we'll ask someone, what time is it? Or, you know, we live our life based on the clock. And I got to be here by this time, and I got to be there by that time. And our time just ticks away, and it's just ticking. Tick tock. By the time we're done here today, you'll be 2 hours closer to death. Or maybe less. There are all things, all kinds of things. Sometimes we get so involved in things, we lose track of time. Right? And you're like, oh man, I lost track of time because we really enjoyed what we were doing. We got our mind into it. We're active in it, and we lose track of time. This morning, at some point during the service, you may sneak a peek to see what time it is by accidentally clicking your phone on and thinking, okay, he's got 10 minutes left. Hopefully, he's got 10 minutes left. But the reality is there's a better question we should ask than what time is it? We should, it's something that we need to pay attention to in our life, but most of the time we don't think about this. And here's the question is, what am I doing with my time? Not what time is it, but what am I doing with the time that I have? You see, none of us are guaranteed that we're going to have anything beyond this day. There are some people that woke up this morning knowing that yesterday a doctor told them that you got 30 days left. You got a couple of months left. And in that moment, knowing that there is an end of that time, they look at today a whole lot differently than many of us in this room that may only have 2 days left. We just don't know that we're going to get T-boned in a car and be instantly taken up. So what am I doing with my time? There is a website called deathclock.com. Please don't go to it today. But it's a website that's designed to tell you how long you'll live and when you're going to die. And some of you will go to it and you'll think, wow, this is kind of cool. I'm going to die in 20 years or whatever it is. The reality is no one can tell you when you're going to die. But we all are going to die. Every one of us, it says in the Bible, is appointed unto man to die. As time goes by faster and faster, we realize even as we get older, time is just slipping by so fast. How many know that as you've gotten older, it's like, man, it was just like yesterday. And you know, as Mackenzie went to North Central, and that was our first child going to college, and we realized, boy, you know, we're getting old, right? I'm old at 32. It is amazing how fast time has gone by. Now, the Bible talks a little bit about this, says this in Job. When we look at it, you know, and there's nothing like an encouraging book of Job. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. That's not the kind of verse you typically find on a Hallmark card or on a calendar, right? It's not something you typically want to tell someone. Here's the next verse I want to take a look at. My days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without a glimpse of joy. Days go by quickly. Our days go by fast. And there's something about time, because we all have resources. We have money. We have talents. We have abilities. We have homes. We live in a community. We have relationships. We have resources of all kinds in our life. But the most valuable resource that you have right now is time. It is the greatest resource that any of us have, and it never can be replaced. You can replace money. You can even replace relationships, but you cannot replace your time. Once it is gone, it's gone. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. It's just going. Second by second, we have tools in our life that are telling us that you're getting older. Whether it's a calendar that continues to turn or the watch you're wearing, the second hand on your watch that tells us again and again, you have one less second than you did a second ago, and now it's 2 seconds because it was a second ago that you said that. Here's the big idea I want to talk about today. Maybe I should begin spending my time with the end in mind. Now, this might be in your sermon notes that you were given when you're given in there, but what I want you to do is put a line through spending. Just put a line through spending and say, maybe I should begin investing my time with the end in mind. I don't know that anyone has ever gotten a return on their investment in watching television. Yet many people will watch TV and use their time to watch something that will never return, give you a return on your investment. We'll schedule our life around TV shows, right? I mean, we schedule our life around Barney. It's just the way it is. There's no investment and there's no return on that investment. Now, think about this for a moment. If I were to come to you today and say, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have a disease and you only have 30 days to live. If I were to come to you as a doctor or someone and say, you're going to have a car accident. I had a vision of you in a car accident. It's going to happen on this day, and you're going to be gone in 30 days. After the initial shock of knowing what you thought was so secure, because we live our life as if it never ends. And in reality, there's a lot of truth to that. We do live into eternity, and when you know Christ, you live forever. But the reality is, do I live with the understanding that this dispensation, that this understanding of life is going to come to an end? And that my life is more than just the story I want told about me, because many of us are living a life with this hope that I'm going to be able to tell this grand story. Or we all know people who live lives as if the world revolves around them, that everything revolves around them, that they want to be the celebrity, they want to be known, they want everybody to kind of celebrate who they are. And so they live their life with this hope that everybody's going to celebrate them, that they're going to live this grand story, and I'm going to be known, and people are going to like me. And we live with that understanding, forgetting the fact that you will never live long enough to fully tell the story that will change the world. The reality is, life is too short. You will never live long enough to write the story you're dreaming. So, have a great day. What I want to talk about this morning is what Moses taught us about time and the understanding of time and the importance in how to use our time. Because if we live in a culture that says you need to be a celebrity, and so what do? We turn Instagram into our branding tool. we turned Facebook into our selling of ourselves, where we're going to market ourselves because we want to create an image that we are greater or better or have a more exciting life than we really do. Right? We see someone else doing something and we think, oh, that made him look really good. I got to do that now. How many do that? Right? How many know what I'm going to ask next? How many little liars in here do we have? Right? Because we want to brand ourselves. That's the new thing. Look at the story of Moses. Many don't realize that David wasn't the only one who wrote the Psalms. Actually, there were other writers of the Psalms, and one of those writers was Moses. And he wrote the psalm that we're going to look at this morning. Now, if you look at the life of Moses, Moses was born in a time where Pharaoh was killing any young Israelite boys, Hebrew boys, that were being born. And in order to save Moses, Moses' mother put Moses into a basket, put him in the Nile, floated him down the river. We don't know that it was the Nile for sure, but put him in the river and floated him down by the palace. And whether it was the palace or not, we don't know, but that's what the Prince of Egypt said in the movie by Pixar. Not the Bible movie, but the Pixar one. And they floated him down. Actually, it was probably DreamWorks. And they put him down there, and he floats in, and then Pharaoh's daughter sees Moses, the little baby boy, and he picks him up out of, he's drawn out of the water, which is the name Moses, drawn out of the water, drawn up. And Miriam, the sister, happened to be watching him. Miriam says, oh, this is a boy, a Hebrew boy. This is Pharaoh's daughter, takes him, raises him in Pharaoh's house to walk like an Egyptian. Talk like an Egyptian, right? And he's raised at some point. He realizes, learns that he's a Hebrew and that his people are slaves, the Egyptians. He grows up knowing this, that he was probably called by God to be the deliverer of the Hebrews. And so at one point, he's walking around and around the country, and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. And he's beating the Hebrew slave. And Moses gets angry because he's the deliverer. This is the time. God's called me to do this. So he goes over and he kills the Egyptian slave driver. And they get mad at him. And so he takes off running because they're going to kill Moses. And he takes off running into what the Bible calls the desert, the far side of the desert or wilderness. We call it a desert. And he spends, at 40 years old, he leaves Egypt. He's 40 years old. He leaves Egypt. He goes into the wilderness, desert. He comes across a shepherd's family, kind of likes the daughter of the shepherd and marries her. And he spends the next 40 years of his life in the desert, in the wilderness, until one day he's out with the sheep. And he looks in the distance and he sees a bush, and in the bush is a fire. It's not actual fire, but God opened his spiritual eyes to see him as a flame within the bush. 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 That's how my mother-in-law says it. She would love that. Bush. And he goes there, and God within the bush says, you need to go back to Egypt. He's now 80 years old. He spent all of that time in the desert. Now, many of you in this room have spent quite a bit of time already in your life doing other things. You've been chasing other things, and you're sitting here and you're listening to this, and you say, the one thing I don't have a lot of anymore is time. Some of you in this room say, I got a lot of time. You're in your 20s. You say, that's for them because people are getting old, they're going to die. I got years to go. Can I tell you, you could be 22 years old today and live not as long as someone who's 75. You don't know the day that is appointed. But the one thing remains true for all of us. We will all give an account for our days and how we spend that day. When I woke up this morning, many of us have lived our life, and we wake up in the morning, we say, oh man, this is going to be a terrible day. I just want to get through this day. Anyone ever said that? Right? How many said today? You woke up, no, because you were coming to church today. You said, this is a good day, right? And some would say, well, this day, I know God gives all good days. Like, this is the day that the Lord has made, Let us rejoice. How many sang that chorus, right? You know, how many grew up in the church and you sang that chorus, right? Some of you said, I have no idea what you're talking about. That's okay. But we were taught when we were kids growing up that this is the day that the Lord made, so let's rejoice in it, right? But I'm not rejoicing in this one because this one I don't like, right? We're parents and we have children and they start, we love the little baby, until about 3 months into it and you haven't had sleep for six. And you've been changing the diaper, and you've been feeding them, and you're tired. And you're like, I just can't wait until they're two. And then they turn two, and you're like, I just can't wait until they're seven. And then they turn seven, and you're like, man, I can't wait until they're 12 or teenagers. Then they turn teenagers, and you're like, boy, I wish they were one. Like, where has the time gone? Because we're so equipped and trained in our mind to wish our days goodbye. We wish our years goodbye. We sit there not enjoying and appreciating the day and understanding the value of my day, that today is more valuable than money. And what I do with my day, what I do with this Sunday is extremely important, not just for me, but for eternity and in the kingdom of God. And that I need to number my days. Each day needs to be lived and appreciated for that day. And it should be a habit that I hope through this series that you develop, that the Holy Spirit with you develop together an appreciation that when you wake up, there's a habit where you say, God, what do you have for me in this day? We don't immediately look at what I got to do in the day and say, I really don't want to do that today. But we look at God, what is it today that we're going to do? What is it? What's this day going to produce? What investment is going to be made in this day for the future? Why is this day so important? And that's what I want to take a look at. Now I want to go to Psalms 90, 1 through 2. Here's what it says. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born or brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God, you've always been there. Your days never end. How many would believe and would agree that God has always been Alpha, Omega, he's like the but how many, when you think about that, your brain kind of just like mushes, like he never started, like he always was, and he always will be, like he's, how many in your mind, you can't fully comprehend that, right? It's just beyond your mind. You just can't comprehend that at all. And the reality is that's God's day. Like there is never a beginning of God. He's always been. And Moses is saying this. He's going, you just go on and on and on and on. Next verse. It says, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. It sounds a little like the Lord of the Rings, you know? Can you just say, Gandalf is just saying that, turned you back to dust, right? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right? There is an end to this physical life. Next verse. In 1,000 years in your sight, are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Wow. Like 1,000 years to us is like one day to God. So, I mean, our life really is nothing. If you think of your life in those terms, if you think of your life in these terms, how long is your life from God's perspective? It's like a mist. It's like going out in a fall day, walking outside and going, and as quickly as the mist comes and goes, that's how fast your life is going by. That's how fast your life just happens. And we sit here and we're living our life for our story, and it's a mist. It's over in a moment in God's eyes. It's that quick. Here's verse 5. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning, and in the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. So here's the point he's making. Very clearly, this is the point he's making. That your life is so brief, quick, and common. Don't you love this message? Really, don't you love it? Isn't it great? It's okay. You can say, no, I'm hating it right now. This is not really what I was hoping to hear. That's okay. That it is futile for us to try to create something meaningful on our own because we really don't have enough time. We're trying to create our own story. We're trying to create our own legend. We're trying to create ourselves into celebrities to be known because we want everybody to know who we are. So we want to do great things so people know who I am. And the reality is we will never be able to create anything of great significance or importance because we don't live long enough. Really, we weren't created to create our own story. We were created to make God known and to play into his eternal story. That we're all part of his story. Now look around at the people around you. Look around. You know what we often do? This is something that we often do. We look around at other people and we measure them against ourselves. Don't we do that? Right? Man, their hair really doesn't look good. That looks, I'm a better dresser than them. I do my hair much better than them. I actually smell better than them. I would never date a guy like that. My spouse is better than that. My spouse is worse than that. What did I do? Oh, right? What we do is we measure ourselves against other people to find out how we're doing, to kind of figure out whether we're doing well or not. And so how do we measure that? We use other people to do that, right? That it's a normal reaction. You were born with that instinct. And anytime somebody says, I don't care what anyone says, they care more than anyone else what everybody says. Okay? Yeah, I always laugh because those are the people that care the most about what people say are the ones that say, I don't care. Yeah, you do. That's why you said it so angry, you know, so unhappy. Because you do care. Your only hope for significance is to take your little moments of time and to interject them properly into the context of what God is up to. So hear this point. This is extremely important. If you don't like this message, it is because you're right in the thick of what I'm trying to get at. What I'm saying is give up your dreams to fulfill God's dream. What I'm saying is get up your need for acceptance to make God accepted. Give up your drive to be known to make God known. How many people in your life know God more because of your life compared to how much more they know you from your life? We often live our life trying to make our life look good so people think more of us rather than living our life to make God look good so they think more of him. So when you go to the store and you pull your little buggy out and you fill it with groceries and you're out in the parking lot and you take your groceries out and put them in the car, here's just a simple practical example. People are watching you. Do you sit there and go to the buggy and then get in your car, or do you walk it back to the buggy returns place where it says buggy's here? Right? How many know what I'm talking about? The cart. Right? The cart. There's the temptation. I know you got it. I'll just slide it right between the two cars. I'm busier than everyone else. Right? My life is more important than everyone else's time. So I'm going to just park it next to this brand new Corvette. Hopefully the wind doesn't come and get it. Right? You see, what we're doing is we're thinking major things. We don't even think in practical terms. That when I live my life and my time, yes, it takes more time to take my buggy cart to the return place, but I'm doing it because I am a child of God and I want people to see this child of God taking it back so that other cars don't get dinged up, just simply. That's just a simple thing. You can go to the other end of the spectrum and say there is someone you know that maybe you've never met, but they work at your workplace and you heard they have cancer. And you know you serve a God that's not only healed people of cancer, but he has put the power that heals people with cancer inside of you. And you realize that I have the gift of the Spirit living in me. And I'm going to go to this person I've never met and say, I heard you got cancer. And I want you to know I believe that I can pray for you and you can be healed of your cancer. Will you let me pray for you? Well, you don't understand. I'm a really busy person, and God's not going to do it anyway for me. You know, when I pray, God doesn't. Time. What are we doing with our time? We have our agenda and what we want to do with our life, and we want to tell our story. But what is the story we're telling with a small amount of time, the mist that we have? What is the story being told within the mist of our life that brings glory and honor to God? What is that? There are two things that will happen for anyone trying to live out their legend, anyone wanting to be a legend. Here's the first thing. You're going to run out of time. You will never become a legend because you don't have enough time. Here's number two. History never speaks well of them. You ever met anyone that are living for themselves as if everything revolves around them? How many love people like that? You love, how many need the help of the Holy Spirit to love people like that? Just, right? Because you don't like people, they're dictators. There are people that think they're most important in the world, and they want everyone else to serve them, and they want everyone else to serve their vision, and what's important to them should be most important to you, and it was what benefits me. Go to the next verse, verse 9 through 10. Here's what it says. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan, and our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. They're quickly gone. 70 to 80 years. What are we doing? When we come to the end of our life, what will be said of those 70 to 80 years? So one of the things that we typically never do because we're so busy is we never step away from our life and say, what is my life actually accomplishing? We wake up in the morning, we eat our breakfast, if you eat breakfast. Some of you say, I'm going to get a couple of hours more of sleep, so I'm not going to eat. Right? Anyone in here like that? As long as I have coffee, and then you have, some of you hide it under your long sleeves, but you have an injection thing in you, and you just plug it in there and have a flow of coffee to your body all day long, right? Some of you are thinking, that would be a great invention. But you live your life 70, 80 years. That's what we're promised, it says, even though that doesn't happen. But if we have 70, 80 years, what is it in our life? How have those 70 to 80 years brought glory to God? How have they brought glory to God? What are they doing to bring glory to God? Look at the next verse, verse 11. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Now, what in the world is Moses talking about? This, when you first read it, it's like, it doesn't even fit here until you study the cultural background of what he's saying. Here's what the Hebrew context of it is, the meaning of it is. If we could see God as he is, we would give him reverence he is due. Okay? If we could see God as he is, we'd give him reverence what he's doing. So what Moses is saying is, if you could actually see the full glory of God, you would do everything you could in your life to make him known to every person you knew. But the reality is we can't handle it. Moses said, show me your face, God. And God says, well, Moses, if I showed you my face, you would just like crumble. And so Moses said, Moses, go in the crevice of the rock and I'll let you see my glory. And when Moses saw the glory of God, he walks out. The people that saw Moses said, Moses, why are you glowing so bright? You're like the sun. Cover up. When John in Revelation sees the angel of the Lord that had been in the presence of God, he was an angel. He comes out. John sees him. He bows because he could not handle the glory of God. But if it were possible to see the glory of God, and in just a little bit, if it were possible to see the glory of God, we would decide, we'd be messed up. We'd be like, you know what? I'm not living my life for my own legend. I'm not living my life for my own legacy. I'm living my life to celebrate his legend, to celebrate his legacy, and to celebrate him in my life and what he's doing in my life. You know, in Jesus, this is how amazing the glory of God is. Jesus was in the garden. The soldiers are coming to take Jesus, and there's a whole bunch of soldiers with their swords and their shackles, and they're going to come take Jesus, and they're going to put him in prison. And they said, are you Jesus? And he said, I am. And he let out a little glory, and it knocked everybody down. Just a little glory knocked everybody down. And they all got up. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to let out the glory like that. Yes, I'm Jesus. For those who don't know, God called himself, I am. At the very sound of his name, every knee bowed. When Jesus said, I am, every knee bowed. We're living life, and it's short. And in this series, what I want you to do, and we're going to talk about this very clearly, that how am I numbering my days? This next last verse. Teach us to number our days. Hence, what he's saying is, Moses is saying to God, God, we don't know how to do this. So we need your help to teach us how to number my days. How do I live my days with the value that they're worth? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, whether you're like Chris, who's 16 years old, or I'm not going to pick out the oldest person in the room. Someone say thank you. Pastor Philbeck, you're 80, right? Didn't you just have 81 years old? This message is for every one of us in this room. How are you going to live tomorrow morning? How are you going to live tomorrow? Say, but I got lots of days. I got lots of time to do all of that stuff. Do you? How do you know? That when there's something that's put in your heart or something that you have a passion to do and it's something God has really put there and you know God has put that into your life, teach us to number our days. What Moses is saying is, God, we don't know how to number our days. We don't know how to value our days. But teach us, Lord, that when we wake up, I need your help. That when I wake up, that I don't moan and groan over my day, but that I wake up with this attitude of, thank you, God, for this day and this breath, because there's someone else that's waking up knowing because they've been told, I only have 30 more of these days. And because he knows the number of days, those days have more value to them. What Moses is saying, and women, you know how this works, right? Number your days. How many women, when you got married, right? Someone comes up to you before your wedding and they said before your wedding, when do you get married? Oh, I get married in 32 days, 8 hours, 32 minutes, and 19 seconds, right? Because you're excited, like you're numbering the days, and there's all this stuff that has to get done before we get to that day. And so I know exactly how much time, and I got to get this done and get this done. And you've figured out how much you got to get done before you go. And the reality is our life is short, and there's a lot to do. But rather than to get distracted by the enemy, when I wake up today, I'm going to give glory to God no matter the circumstances of my day. Now I'm going to pause right here for a moment. If you've lost your job, if you have a sickness or disease that you just heard about, if there's a relationship problem, the enemy, Satan, his angels, demons, There's a reason I'm bringing it up, because we live in a world that they don't have a comprehension that there are demons, that it isn't a Hollywood movie. Their strategy is to bring things into your life that you get more caught up worshiping what the devil's doing in your life than you do focusing on what God wants to do in your life. No weapon formed against you will prosper. If God is for you, who can be against you? Yes, you lost a job, and God will take care of you. He didn't stop being Jehovah because you lost your job, but God doesn't want you to lose sight of your days. That whether you have a job or you don't, whether you have a relationship or you don't, that day, this day, is still important, and he doesn't want you to allow the enemy not only to bring that into your life, but to get you to not value the days you're in. If only I could get through this year. Don't worry about the year. Say, God, what can I celebrate today in this day? How can you use this day? How can I lift you up in this day? How can you be glorified in my day? How can other people get to know you more because of my day today? I'm not going to let a lost job or health thing or relational thing or a financial thing to keep me from valuing this day for what it is. It is my most important resource that I have, is to wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord made just for me. And I only have a few of them. And so I only have just a couple to be able to celebrate God. So I can't waste these days. It's very important. Some of you need to be more frugal with your days like you are with your money. Your money can get replaced, but your time cannot. So what am I going to do with my days? Wish them away? Boy, if I just get through this problem that I have at work and it's going to be 6 months and I just got to battle through, hunker down and do my thing. Is that the attitude we approach it with? Or do we put things in places in our life where we say, that's just that place in my life, but God wants me to do something in this day. This day is our day. Teach me. Why? That I may gain a heart of wisdom. Be wise. Life is a lot more enjoyable when you realize I don't have to be a celebrity. I just need to make him a celebrity. And he's pretty good at it, isn't he? Will you bow your head?